The Workday Replay from Money FM 89.3.
Now, mediation is often used to resolve disputes and conflicts, but a study by Nanyang Business School finds that only 60% of the goals desired by disputants were achieved in mediation. Disputants and mediators have different goals in mediation. Also coming into play, cultural differences. So how can mediators take into consideration cultural orientation, which impacts disputants' preference of mediation styles? Associate Professor Tan Ju Seng is from NTU, and he's the author of the study. Professor, thanks for coming again today.
Thank you very much.
Why did you decide to do this study? Let's start there. What was the impetus for it?
Well, together with my co-authors, Valerie and Kit Wai, we wanted to find out whether culture plays a part in affecting the mediation process and outcome.
Did you suspect already that it might play a part?
Yes, we do. We have a hypothesis that it has a part to play, but we don't know how big a part culture plays in the mediation process.
Findings of import after you did the study with regard to cultural differences?
In our survey, we found correlations between the cultural variables that we look at as well as the impact on mediation process and outcome in terms of how disputants viewed the process, whether it was satisfactory and the outcome achieved was something that they wanted at the end of the process.
Maybe you need to help us out. When we say cultural differences, what is that? Ethnicity, nationality, gender maybe?
We didn't look at gender per se, but we look at in terms of cultural differences, in terms of their preferences for certain conflict styles, whether they would express emotions in a conflict or whether they prefer more directive versus indirect style communication. We also look at in terms of whether they have different cultural value orientation, whether they were more individualistic or more group-based.
Give us an example.
Well,
so who was more think for the village? Who was more I'm me for me?
Well, there's a bit of context to this and it's a bit more nuance as well. If I give an example of stereotyping a little bit here, Singaporeans may be part of the Asian landscape. We are perceived to be more collectivistic, group-based, more of the village kind, if you like, versus the non-Asians, maybe the North American example here, a bit more individualistic, more competitive-driven.
Also give us an example in terms of what sort of styles they prefer.
Well, so
mediation
far,
styles.
Mediation
yeah.
styles are basically there's a spectrum of mediation style ranging from the facilitative, which is interest-based mediation, versus the other end, which is the directive or evaluative style mediation. In evaluative style, the mediator takes a more active role to direct the mediation versus the more facilitative style where the mediator allows the interest to emerge during the process of mediation from the disputants. So the mediator in the facilitative style would adopt a less active approach, a more passive, I'd say more neutral approach to mediation.
So, definitively, could you say how much cultural differences affects the process?
Interestingly, we found correlations among some of the variables here. At least in the Singaporean context, disputants coming from the Singapore background, in terms of they are perceived to have lower power, high power distance and more group-based, as I said earlier on, collectivistic, their preferences were more directive style. So we found that significant correlation between the two. That, but mediators, on the other hand, are trained maybe using more Western style mediation.
They Which would be more what?
More more facilitative rather, okay. Excuse me. So but more more facilitative style mediation versus evaluative. So evaluative means the mediator takes a more active role and try to bring out the interests of the parties in mediation. And also maybe have a more, I suppose, interventionist in terms of where the mediation is going in the process, whether it's the interest of the party, whether they stand a chance of winning or not in the mediation.
What are the implications then, though, now that you've found this out, to the mediation process? I mean, earlier we talked about how 60% of goals aren't met.
Yeah.
During the mediation process.
I suppose here in that sense, because mediators are trained in the more, facilitative style mediation, and Singaporean disputants, if they prefer a more directive style, whether they...
It almost sounds like they want to be told what to do, Professor.
Not completely. It's a bit more nuanced than that.
Okay.
I suppose stereotyping a little bit, that would be, yes, I prefer directive style, and therefore I need to be told what to do. But I think they also need to have a time where they can vent or share their emotions, because we found from our study that Singapore disputants want a space for them to be able to express their feelings during a mediation process. But if you're using the facilitative style, use more discussion style, that you keep emotions in check and talk about the facts of the case itself.
Which I feel should be how it should be done. Should it not, Professor?
Yes.
What's important here is just the facts. Because once you get the facts out, you can then move on. But no.
Yeah, you need both. I think it's a bit... I think experienced mediators would not just use one style... I suppose definitive throughout the mediation process.
So it's a combination.
A combination, a hybrid if you like.
So you're saying in order to improve the mediation process, perhaps now they need to adopt a more hybrid style,
yes,
or hybrid approach.
Yes, not only just that, I think maybe be able to understand the disputants at the mediation sessions, their background, who they are, their cultural preferences, and have a better go in terms of optimizing the whole process of mediation and getting better, I think, satisfaction from both sides.
So mediators now need to be counsellors as well? I mean, what sort of training might be needed?
I think mediators are well-trained, experienced in the field. I think there's a little bit here in terms of that understanding and empathy for the disputants when they are in the session together.
Do you think maybe tempering complainants or disputants' expectations might help some too?
Not so much temporary expectations. I think maybe sort of in terms of able to understand, again, the psyche, the mindset of the disputants. Not so much in terms of setting up expectations, but I think in terms of understanding the mediators, the mediators understand the disputants, where they're coming from, and be able to draw them out in the mediation process and be able to understand that not one style works best for everybody.
What are you and your co-authors going to do about this study now that you've found out these certain things? Are you going to let people know, mediators know, that, you know what, this is what we found out, maybe you could change your styles?
Yes, we hope that in the next part of our analysis, we'll be able to get more deeper findings about the characteristics of the disputants. We want to know exactly in terms of the outcomes and also the process, whether there's a stronger correlation between if I'm happy with the process of mediation, would I therefore be happy with the outcome or not necessarily the case?
Professor, have you been through mediation yourself?
Not formally.
Were you able to sit in on maybe mediation sessions just to have a look?
Yes, I've sat in on some mediation sessions. But I'm not myself, not in as a mediation involved as a mediator. Not
and
formally.
As an observer, what did you see at that point?
Interestingly, mediators, I think, are very resourceful. They're able to sense. I think sense making is very important. They're able to sense, and effective mediators know how to sense when they make the changes in terms of their style of mediation. At one point, they are more direct. Another time, they are less indirect, be able to draw out the real issues that need to be discussed and resolved in the mediation.
And yet, 60% not resolved. Why do you think that was at this present stage? They're not aware of the cultural differences that come into play?
I think in our study, we found that mediators who are well-trained have higher cultural intelligence, the capability to understand different cultural differences. But I think the little bit here is that mastering the nuances. I think that's where it matters, because I think culture is quite complex. Culture is this many splendid thing out there, and different people have different views about what culture actually means. I think the same applies in this context here.
Associate Professor Tanju Singh from Nanyang Business School, NTU. He's talking today about how mediation needs to be more culturally responsive. In a study, it found that only 60% of goals are met when it comes to mediation. So perhaps this is something that needs to be borne in mind. Professor, thank you so much for coming today.
Thank you very much for having me today.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.